Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast with plenty of laughs and plenty of tears. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the brother who I am finally visiting this weekend.
Yeah, it is about time. I was starting to take it personal. That's me, Ryan Newman.
Just business. And I'm also joined by the brother who needs to visit me and help me move a television.
Oh my gosh. That's Trey Newman.
Yeah, remember that giant television that was very difficult to move? That's from a long time ago?
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Is it just sitting there? Like, you're not using it or what?
Yeah, it's going to the Goodwill.
Ah, is that the one with the line down the...
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we could probably could have taken that off pod, but this episode, we're going to give our tiered rankings of the projected starting quarterbacks in every Power 5 conference. So how many guys, was that 64 guys? I think that's how many Power 5 teams are, so it's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It could be a long episode, but hopefully it'll be really informative. You get to learn who the likely starters are at every school. But first, we have some news and notes. And since there's so many quarterbacks to get to, I'm going to ask you guys to just give one-word responses to this news.
All right.
You both don't have to answer each. Just want you to chime in. And I didn't prepare you for this, but I hope you can handle
one word. Yeah, throwing a curveball at us here right out of the gate.
All right. First bit of news. Rutgers offensive guard Jonah Jackson is transferring to Ohio State. Which one of you can give me a word?
Really?
Okay. Well, that's interesting. You already said it, so that's all we got. No, that's two words. You can't say that. Second bit of news. One of the best defensive players in the MAC, Mike Dana, defensive end from Central Michigan, is transferring to Michigan. How about a word on that?
let's go. I don't want to overdo it, so let's go.
Well, you've already overdone it by saying several words.
Key. All right.
Okay, I like it. That's good. Oregon is hiring Boise State defensive coordinator Andy Avalos to be their D coordinator.
Solid.
Okay, there we go. Success. Now to the quarterbacks. So we assigned each one conference to each bro. So a couple of us had to double up, and we were ranking not the quarterback rooms for each team, but just our projected starters, and we put them on tiers as well. So Ryan, why don't you start us out with the ACC?
Okay, sure. I will get us going here. ACC. So I'm going to kind of name the tiers kind of creatively here. I'm not going to just say tier one, tier two, you know, it's kind of boring. Yep. So I named them in honor of Trevor Lawrence, with his long blonde hair, and in honor of me, I was a Dragon Ball Z kid growing up. Big fan.
Yeah.
Yep, sure. And Trevor Lawrence, you know, the long blonde hair kind of reminds me of a Super Saiyan. So
a what?
I'm a Super Saiyan.
Okay.
It's the type of character, the type of person he was.
Is Goku a Super Saiyan?
Oh yeah, he got like Super Saiyan 4. Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
He was a beast. So we're gonna start with since Lawrence has the long blonde hair. That's kind of like the Super Saiyan 3. It's got the real long one, goes all the way down. So I'm going to start with Super Saiyan 3, and that's Trevor Lawrence. He gets his own tier, close.
But wait, weren't we starting from Trey?
Worst to best.
Yeah, worst to best, I feel like makes more
sense.
Unless
you think Trevor Lawrence is the bottom of the barrel at the ACC.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I kind of screwed the pooch on that one. Just
that's okay.
Got a little excited with my Super Saiyan reference, I guess, so.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, you didn't give anything away. I feel like we knew that.
Yeah, really.
Trevor Lawrence. Well, yeah. Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be Kenny Pickett number one. So
you never know.
Sometimes you do.
Okay. So we're going to start from the bottom here. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to start at the bottom of the barrel.
Super Saiyan 1?
No, I'm going to go a different character. Not even a Saiyan. We're going to go with the guy named Krillin. He was pretty much the weakest character in Dragon Ball Z.
Of course.
Who doesn't know Krillin? Cue ball head. There's only one person here, and we got Georgia Tech's quarterbacks. Lucas Johnson, maybe at this point, but all those guys were recruited for a totally different offense. So it kind of reminds me of Bill Callahan coming to Nebraska and trying to have Joe Daly throw all over the place with the West Coast offense. So,
well, but Joe Daly ran the West Coast offense in high school, Ryan. So,
yeah, and he was clearly great at it. So they're at the bottom of the barrel. Hard to say at this point.
That's fair.
All right. Moving on to the Namics, stepping up a notch. Namics are the green guys. They're not bad. Louisville quarterback Juwan Pass. I don't think you can put too much blame on Pass for this year. Louisville just imploded. I mean, he was horrible, but Louisville was horrible. So I don't think he's the worst.
No, I mean, it's hard to say, it's funny. Last year, coming into last year, he would have been like, he would have been a Super Saiyan for sure, right?
Or exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah,
he'd be good.
I was high on him before the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me last year that he'd be almost the worst in the ACC this year, I would have been awfully surprised.
Right. All right. So now moving on to the regular Saiyans. So at least they're Saiyans. Number 12 in the ACC, we got NC State quarterback Bailey Hockman. He's a tough one to judge because we haven't seen him play. Started his career at FSU, transferred to Hutchinson Community College after they had already started their season, so that was a bit odd. But from all the reports, NC State should be okay, but you know, I got to see it first before I put him too much higher. Moving on, number 11, I have Syracuse's Tommy DeVito.
Hey, I'm playing quarterback here. Forget about it.
Forget about it. Yours is better. Your accent was
better. Yeah, that was not great, Ryan.
No. He was a pretty highly recruited guy. Had some good moments last year filling in for Dungy. Not a runner, but he's got a talented arm. So, I don't know. He should be solid this year.
I'd probably be inclined to have DeVito maybe a little better than where you have him, just because I like where Babers has the Syracuse program, and he probably has a little bit better team around him than some of the upcoming quarterbacks that we might talk about.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good pass. And I don't know. I just feel like Dungy was a pretty darn good QB that it's going to be a downgrade. So maybe I'm just punishing DeVito too much for Dungy being a good quarterback, but that's me. Number 10, I have Duke quarterback Quentin Harris. Saw a decent amount of him this past year. He played in most of their games. And then, of course, he had to fill in for Daniel Jones when he was hurt. He was solid. 7 touchdowns to 1 pick. Plus, he's got some legs. And he can run with them.
Yeah, yeah. If he's a good passer, then
yeah,
he should be really good.
I trust Cutcliffe to at least make him decent. So
yeah, he's been there for a while under Cutcliffe's tutelage, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a senior, so he's a guy that could move up this list. He could go up another tier as the year goes on, but we'll see what happens.
By the way, I just want to interject here. If you're listening and throughout the entire episode, if you have any big disagreements, let us know on Twitter at CFB Bros, because I feel like with these things, wisdom of the crowds is usually best.
Yeah, we could be way off on somebody. Yeah.
Like all it's going to take is one guy telling me, like, why did you have Brian Lewerke so high? And I'll be like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was dumb.
I'm stupid.
all right, number 9, we're still in the Saiyans. I got Pitt quarterback Kenny Pickett. All things considered, decent sophomore year, especially if you take out the last two games against Clemson and Stanford. Those were pathetic. Clemson was really pathetic. But he does take care of the ball. Last 8 games of the year, only threw 1 pick, and that was against Clemson. So that's pretty darn good. But that's about all the good things I can say for him.
Yeah, like there's no explosiveness to the passing
game.
That's
the thing. It's like with Pickett, it's just like you kind of know what you're going to get. Like, and there's not a ton of upside I'm seeing.
That's why I put him at 9th, and you know, it's not high.
No, it's fair. It's fair where you have him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, so now we're moving up another tier. All right, so we got the Super Saiyans here.
Ooh.
This is technically tier 3.
Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, we're almost there. I got number 8. I got North Carolina Nathan Elliott. I think he's probably better than his stats would indicate. He's just had a bad team around him. His team sucks. I think he's pretty much every bit as good as the guys on this tier. I just personally think he's doesn't have much around him.
I strongly disagree here. I don't think he's shown us anything to think he should be up on this next tier. I mean, and he's far from guaranteed to be the starter too. They've got a couple redshirt
freshmen. Chaz Surratt could be it, but yeah.
No, Chaz Surratt actually, I just saw today, has moved to linebacker.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yes.
Is it going to be an outside linebacker? It's incredible.
Yeah. Holy. So they're going, they've got a couple redshirt freshmen there, Jace Reuter, Cade Fortin, right. And of course, yeah, did we mention Sam Howell, the star freshman? Mm-hmm. But either way, I just don't feel great about any of those guys this year. Like Nathan Elliott, 11 touchdowns, 9 picks, 6.7 yards per attempt.
Team sucks.
I mean, yep. We'll see who else is on. Yeah, that's true. But maybe partially because of Nathan Elliott as their quarterback.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, all I'm right. just saying I disagree, Ryan. I think he should have been on that last tier. He's not a Super Saiyan. There's no way. His hair is not even blonde.
But he's left-handed.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And his hair might be blonde for all I know. I don't know. I don't know what color his hair
is. It might be. all right, fair enough, though, Mike. I'm number 7 for me, Boston College, Anthony Brown. I don't think a lot of people realize how much he improved from his freshman to sophomore season. He increased his completion percentage almost 4 points, but the big improvement is Michael's favorite stat for quarterbacks is yards per attempt, and that was went from 5.3 to 7.4. So that's a huge jump in 1 year.
That
so
is huge. It's hard to describe 5.3. You don't see much lower than that.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible.
That's pretty bad. But yeah, so, no,
but 7.4 is good. Well, pretty good.
It's solid.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I thought that was, he had a much improved year, and I think he probably will get a little bit better this coming year. Then we're moving on. Number 6, I got James Blackman for Florida State here. Losing DeAndre Francois no doubt hurt the depth for FSU, but not entirely sold he's better than Blackman. And clearly, he's not a very good dude. Kind of beside the point. True, but
true. Nice analysis.
Yeah, but maybe losing him won't be a bad thing because you get that guy off the squad. Maybe it wasn't good for team chemistry, and I don't know. I like Blackman, so his freshman year was good. His QBR was 135 that year, but if you only look at the last 6 games, it was almost 150. So he was playing some good ball for a while there.
You mean his his pass efficiency rating or something? Not QBR. QBR is 0 to 100.
Well, I look on Sports Reference, so.
Yeah, Sports Reference, right? Yeah. But yeah, and when you consider the fact that he had a bad O-line too, I mean, it might still be bad, but
yeah, exactly. And he was 169 pounds that freshman year.
Ah, nice.
Or what he was listed at. Number 5, Wake Forest, Sam Hartman. He had a really promising freshman year, in Winston-Salem, 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. And then he can run. He had a nearly 300 yards on the ground, and he did it in just 9 games. So I think he'll be your starter for Wake, and I think he's going to make a pretty good sophomore jump here under Dave Clawson. So I have him pretty high in the ACC pecking order.
We lose the 4th bro, Jamie Newman.
I know. I'm thinking, yeah. I would bet on Jamie Newman to be the starter.
I like Hartman, but it's up for grabs. I had to pick a guy.
I just thought Newman looked so good taking over after that injury. So he's a beast too. Either one of them, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, it could be either guy. It's hard to say, but if it's Jamie Newman, then I'd probably keep him in the same spot. Honestly,
agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
So, still in the same tier here. Miami quarterback Tate Martell at number 4 hasn't played too much, but he did look good in the limited opportunities he got at Ohio State. So, I feel comfortable putting him here in this 3rd tier and 4th overall in the ACC. Got some good tutelage under Urban Meyer, so no gripes there.
Yeah, it's like a Joe Burrow situation, kind of.
Yeah, maybe a little more upside. He's more highly recruited than Joe Burrow was, but
yeah.
Anyways, then the last person on this level is tier 3 is Virginia Tech quarterback Ryan Willis. Had a really, really solid year taking over for Josh Jackson. Don't really see why he won't have another good year next year, but I don't think he's at the next level.
He's not a super duper Saiyan?
No, that's not a thing, Michael. Come on. Don't be silly.
So I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Let's take this seriously, please. Super Saiyan 2. Super Saiyan 2. This is like the really pointy blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
I got one guy at this list on this part. It's Virginia quarterback Bryce Perkins. He had a lot better passing numbers than I realized when I looked him up. It was good. He had like 25 touchdowns to maybe 7 picks or maybe 9, something like that. But
I think 9.
And he had almost 1,000 yards rushing. So it was clear to me he was number 2 guy on in the ACC pecking order. So,
yeah, Virginia's offense the year before he got there was terrible.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
And they weren't great last year, but they were a lot better.
Yeah, Perkins was probably the main reason why.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, I already said it. number one, Trevor Lawrence, no doubt.
So what, he's a Super Saiyan 3?
Super Saiyan 3, just the long ball hair. Yeah.
I mean, it's of all the conferences, maybe the Pac-12, but I think the ACC is most. It's like you've got one and then everyone else.
Like no doubt.
It's like not even close.
Yeah, and the bottom half, Ryan, was that you listed there, is that's pretty weak.
Yeah, maybe from like Nathan Elliott down is pretty rough. So like eight down, because seven, yeah. I had Anthony Brown. He's okay.
True, true. But after that, yeah, after that.
That's true. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. I'm going to shift gears here. We're going to go to the Big 12.
All right.
My first tier is the Sunflower Group.
Oh.
This is, for those of you that don't know, the state of Kansas is...
what tier number is this?
Oh, man. I think it's four. It's towards the bottom.
Or the bottom.
We've got the Sunflower Group. So, at number 10, Kansas, Thomas McVitie.
Who?
Now, this is one of the few Power 5 school where I couldn't name the quarterback off the cuff. Like, I didn't even know.
That's why we're doing our research right now, early in the offseason.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's a JUCO pro-style quarterback that Miles got. But the thing is given Miles' track record of weak quarterback play, I'm not terribly confident in McVitie right now, but we'll see.
New
number 9, the other Sunflower school, Kansas State. So we've got Skylar Thompson. The great Bill Snyder couldn't get him to succeed, and now Chris Kleeman has to do that. But given the odd offense that Snyder was running in the last few years, maybe Kleeman can open it up a bit and let Thompson be better.
I think I'd probably put Kansas's quarterback in a tier of their own, but
I was going to say, it's hard to resist the Sunflower tier, yeah. Trey, so maybe I'll just give you some credit for that, but I agree. I might want to
probably separate them.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, now, the next few guys, this tier is going to be, they're towards the bottom, so they're either going to be part of the Big 12, or they're going to be part of the Little 12. Just play with me. The bottom.
Okay.
Number 8, Justin Rogers of TCU. He's a redshirt freshman. He's going to have to be the guy, as we saw that this quarterback core was pretty pedestrian last year. He's highly regarded. He was a high recruit in 2018. Quarterback play, as we saw in the Cheez-It Bowl, the infamous Cheez-It Bowl, it's a need. It's going to be tough for a freshman to step up in the high-flying Big 12 where the offense is key, but Patterson just he doesn't want to suffer through poor quarterback play, so he knows it needs to improve.
Well, yeah, and Justin Rogers did make a brief appearance in that...
he did.
Cheez-It Bowl on one leg. He could hardly move.
It was pretty bad.
So, yeah, but I just read today that he's apparently maybe going to be cleared for... be ready to go for spring practice, which would be huge because that injury was lingering. But yeah, a lot of potential. He was super highly recruited.
He does have potential. So he could shoot up the list. Number 7, West Virginia. Yeah, Will Greer's finally gone. They've got Austin Kendall, the Oklahoma transfer, most likely going to be the guy for Neil Brown. You don't always like to see when the new coach comes in and has to hit the transfer market, but Kendall... He obviously has the benefit of following and seeing what it takes sitting behind Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. So maybe some of that seeped into to Kendall's play.
Yeah, I like Kendall.
I might put him a tier higher than Justin Rogers. He's
yeah, I would too. We've seen a little bit of some good moments from Kendall throughout his career at OU. So I'd probably bump him up one tier as well.
That's the thing, is just like, but going to a totally different system might hinder him, but I agree. If he was at Oklahoma, I think I'd have him higher.
Oh, sure. Yeah, 100%.
Now, the final guy in this tier, Oklahoma State, looking to be Spencer Sanders, redshirt freshman. He was the 2017 Texas Gatorade Player of the Year, some strong upside, a new toy for the new offensive coordinator, Sean Gleason. I like that Gundy is going with a young gun, because it seems like every year they're kind of picking a fifth-year senior or some older upperclassman, so I'm looking forward to seeing Sanders develop.
Yeah, I mean, Gundy knows what he's doing with quarterbacks, so I don't have any issue putting him putting him right there.
All right. My next tier, the youth movement. Number five, I guess he'd be the elder statesman of the youth movement, is Baylor's Charlie Brewer.
Yeah.
So he's coming off a year where he threw 60%, over 3,000 yards as a sophomore, and he's going to look to take the next step. And we know that this is a big year for Coach Rule, and having a guy like Brewer who's experienced and solid, that's a pretty good sign. So I'd be pretty encouraged as a Baylor fan right now.
I like Brewer. I probably would put him a bump a couple higher. I think he's a little more proven than Bowman. I'm Bowman maybe more of a system type quarterback. And what Charlie Brewer can do on the ground too is he's kind of showed us there. He's got some legs. So I like him third in the Big 12 personally. I'd put him ahead of Purdy as well.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I mean, it's not like a big difference, but it's just my preference.
We'll touch on the first of the two others you mentioned, Alan Bowman of Texas Tech. I was big on him last year when he was playing. But the problem is with him is he won't be in a Kingsbury system right now. The true fun and gun offense. Matt Wells inherits a solid quarterback, so if they mesh, then the ceiling is high for the Red Raiders. And not to mention, Bowman last year was dealing with that partially collapsed lung for it seemed like half the season, so, and he was still putting up big numbers. So they still have a chance to be potent on offense.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then number three, Iowa State's Brock Purdy. Michael, you'd probably have Purdy at number one.
No, I think number three, a tier below the next two guys. I think this is a good spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State fans though, they have to be super excited about, you know, him. He was 7-2 as a freshman, and he was also, you know, the one issue though is they lose a guy like Hakeem Butler on the outside, but that's not going to help.
Yeah,
but Matt Campbell,
that's huge.
He's done well, but the one thing that I didn't realize about him was he had the best passing efficiency for a true freshman in NCAA history.
I didn't realize that either. Well, I mean, his yards per attempt, he was above 10, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he had over 10 yards per. He was third in the nation.
It's all Butler.
Yeah, exactly, Ryan. That was all Hakeem Butler, because Hakeem Butler, I think, was number one in the country.
Yards per reception, yeah.
Yeah, you could throw it up to him and he'd gargle it up. But
like you said, it'll be interesting to see him without Hakeem Butler. But yeah, I think
he's going to have a little bit of a sophomore slump.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
Maybe. Well, and he loses Montgomery in the backfield too, so.
Yeah.
All right, my final two, we're going to go with the Red River group. This is obviously probably no surprise to most.
I will be interested to see who you have. Yeah, number two and number one, though.
Yeah, my surprise might be the order. I'm number two. I've got Oklahoma's Jalen Hurts.
Oh, you dummy.
I know. I mean,
no, I'm just kidding.
We know Oklahoma. They've had the last two Heisman winners. But in my opinion, I'm not seeing him. He'll succeed in this offense, but I'm just not seeing him like Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray. Lincoln Riley will have him settled with, especially with all the returning talent around. But I'm really interested to see Hurts the passer, as that wasn't really, you know, obviously his forte at Alabama, where they didn't ask him to do a ton in the offense.
Yeah. I agree with you, Trey. I'm more confident in Ellinger right now.
Yeah, and so I'm going number one, Texas's Sam Ellinger. I mean, he's a great dual threat. As a sophomore, he had a 25-5 touchdown to interception ratio. And then, you know, I know it's one game, but his Sugar Bowl performance against Georgia has you encouraged, and he's got to be one of the Heisman contenders going into this year. And, you know, if you like college football, you kind of have to like Ellinger, even if you don't like Texas. Like, he lays it on the line. He doesn't overwhelm you with his, you know, raw talent or him as a pro prospect, but I expect a big season ahead for him.
Yeah. You got to like Jalen Hurts too. Not that you said.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that you said otherwise.
Didn't Ellinger have like 16 rushing touchdowns also? So
yeah, no, he's a really good dual threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no problem with this, with your 1-2 there. I was just, you know, I for me, I'm afraid to give my, I only have one conference, but I'm very self-conscious about my rankings. Because what if I messed up and you guys are like, wow.
That is horrible, Mike.
Do you even watch football? But okay, here's a question. You kind of brought it up, Trey, but who do you think's more likely to win the Heisman, Hurts or Ellinger?
Ooh.
Because for me, the reason I would say Hurts, which doesn't mean he's a better quarterback, but just in that Lincoln Riley offense with those weapons, and personally, I'm going to have OU ranked ahead of Texas, so...
Yeah,
right.
I mean, the only thing I would
I probably agree, but the only thing I would caution is that there might be some voter apathy against Oklahoma quarterbacks now. Maybe not, but
that's not a horrible point. I would actually probably have to lean towards
as opposed to all my other points.
That's not horrible. It's like that still leaves a lot of like it's pretty bad. It could still be.
Just leave it where it was.
Okay.
No, I agree. I think Jalen Hurts would probably, if I had to pick a potential Heisman winner, I'd probably pick Jalen, just because how can you not when OU's had two in a row now? So
yeah.
Okay. That does it for, we got two conferences down. I'm up next, the Big Ten. But before that, Trey, you have a trivia question for us?
I do. So the theme of this podcast, obviously quarterbacks. So I'm going to stick with that, go down that route. So since the year 2000, so we're talking almost the last 20 years, and only limited to the Power 5 schools.
Okay.
Can you guys name the top 10 leaders in career passing touchdowns? Power 5 schools, almost the last 20 years, the top 10 leaders in career passing touchdowns. So first off, I'm going to give you guys the school as we go down, but do you guys have a couple just before we even get there?
Well, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore.
No, Power 5.
Oh, sure.
Whoops.
I'm really paying attention.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield is up. He's actually number 2.
Philip Rivers?
No, he might have been. No.
No.
Tim Tebow?
No, passing touchdowns.
Just passing touchdowns, yeah.
JT Barrett?
No, he's close, but no.
All right, we suck, right? Well, how about Matt Leinart? Matt Barkley? No.
Matt Barkley, yes.
Okay.
Matt Barkley is actually number 6.
Oh, wow. Yeah, 4-year guy, right? Or was he 3-year guy?
Barkley was a 4-year guy.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So you guys definitely got Baker and Barkley, and you know, that's a tough question. So I'm going to start out. Now I'm going to give you guys the school, so obviously there's not that many options, so you got to get it right. So number 10, Oregon.
All right, Ryan. So we thinking Mariota or?
Because, yeah, he was a 3-year guy, so it's got to be Mariota.
I mean, we could go all the way back to Joey Harrington. That's before.
Well.
No, that would have been before. He would have been.
I'm thinking it's Mariota.
All right, Mariota.
It's Mariota. It's Mariota.
Okay.
Number 10. Number 9, Clemson.
Okay, Ryan. Well, Taj Boyd is coming to mind.
I'm thinking Boyd right now. Otherwise, it's...
Well, what's his face? Deshaun Watson.
Ooh, yeah, Deshaun Watson.
He did...
Oh, yeah. Okay. He was 3 years, wasn't he?
I don't quite remember. Should we go Deshaun Watson?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, Taj Boyd.
No. Come on. Son of a
dang it.
Taj Boyd, like, that was a good... I'm surprised... That was a hard one to come up with for some reason for me.
He played forever, though. Yeah. I should have known that.
He did. All right. Number 8, Wisconsin.
Well, who's the guy that was there forever?
Joel Stave?
Yeah, Joel Stave. They've had... but there was somebody else.
Russell Wilson, does his touchdowns at NC State count?
Well, okay. Well, wait. Oh, if you count his touchdowns at NC State, yeah, which counts. Why not?
That's true.
He was a 4-year starter, I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to say Russell.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Very good. Yeah, I didn't want... If I gave you NC State, too, that was too obvious. So.
No, you're right. Yeah.
That was good. Okay, number 7, Texas.
Well, Colt McCoy. How did we not come up, Ryan, with Colt McCoy earlier, right? Colt McCoy?
Yeah.
Colt McCoy. Yep. Number 6 you got was Matt Barkley. Number 5, Wazoo.
Well, it's Luke Falk, Ryan.
Falk.
Or... Connor Halliday. I don't know if he was, but
I feel like Halliday wasn't a long-term guy.
Yeah, Falk was a long-term.
Yeah, Falk. I think I'd have to go with Falk.
Luke Falk.
Good job. You guys are good. I might have said Halliday, so that's good. Yeah. All right. Number 4, Georgia.
Well, I was thinking Stafford earlier, Ryan. Stafford, you think? But there was also, who was the recent guy? Who was the his brother was on The Bachelor.
What?
Come on.
Aaron Murray?
Yeah, Aaron Murray. Do you think Aaron Murray or Matthew Stafford?
I would lean towards more Murray.
You're thinking of Aaron Rodgers, but whatever.
No, I'm not. No, Aaron Murray had a brother also on The Bachelor.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I would lean toward Murray than
Stafford.
Wasn't Stafford 3 years?
Probably.
I would lean towards Murray, but that's
I'll let you guess, Ryan.
Oh, boy. Pressure. I'm going to say Murray.
Yep. Aaron Murray.
And good work.
Very good. Work. That was good. That was a good one.
That was a win-win for me, Ryan, because now we get it right. But if you were wrong, I'd just been like, no, yeah, I knew it was Stafford. Yeah. I thought it was Stafford all along.
Number three, Oklahoma.
Okay. Sam Bradford is coming to mind, Ryan.
Who? Sorry?
Sam Bradford.
Yeah. He left after his third year, I believe.
Okay.
Could be Baker, honestly.
Well, we already said Baker.
Baker's
though.
Number two.
Oh, okay. So it's a different Baker? I mean, a different Oklahoma.
it's a different Oklahoma.
Okay.
OU, they also had not Heupel.
Jason White, but I don't think he was a long term guy.
And no, it wasn't. He was too early, I think, maybe.
Thompson or something. He was brief. Bradford, I think, yeah.
All right, should we just go Sam Bradford?
So this, it's funny, he's number three, and this is the toughest one on the list, in my opinion.
Wait, don't tell us. It's not Sam Bradford, though?
It's not Sam Bradford.
Okay, well, let's try and think
harder. You guys haven't named him.
Okay.
Wow. This seems like embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
This one, even though he's high up there, it's just tough for me.
So does his first name start with a C?
No.
Okay.
What about an A?
What about a B?
No.
Okay. So
interesting.
Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield.
I'm having a major brain fart here.
I know. Who was before Baker? It was that one year with Trevor Knight or something? Or
I don't even remember.
Hibble? There's a Hibble, but he wasn't really.
No.
No, it was right after Bradford.
Right after Bradford. Ryan, can you remember Sue? Remember 09, the Nebraska game, wasn't it like 9-6 or something? Who's quarterback in that game?
It was like 10-3 or something, yeah. But yeah, I think he was the quarterback in this game. I could be wrong.
That is not coming to me.
All right, another hint.
Well, at times I believe he had a mustache.
Oh, I can picture him. Why is he not coming to mind?
And he's been a backup in the NFL.
Oh, Landry Jones. Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. Landry Jones.
Unbelievable.
But seriously, though,
you've got
the whole litany of Oklahoma quarterbacks. Like, it's amazing he did that well. You don't think of him like that.
Wow.
It's just a total, yeah, I don't know.
I would not have.
All right, I'm retiring from college football podcasting.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was hard. So you guys got Baker. Now the final one, number one, Texas Tech.
Well, geez, there's a lot of choices here.
I know.
Who was there for the longest?
No, well, what about...
Was Graham Harrell there the longest? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Should we go with Graham Harrell, Ryan?
I got to get
Graham
you
Harrell.
Guys... It was Graham Harrell.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
So this kind of went a while, but just to... Those were the Power Five. I'll give you one guess as the number one overall.
Okay. We've got to consider Colt Brennan. We've got to consider who's the Houston... had
Case Keenum for a while, but he wasn't Case Keenum.
It could be Case Keenum.
Kellen Moore played in a heck of a lot of games.
Okay, so you guys have just named the top three non-Power Five.
Okay, all right, it's one of those guys. Ryan,
I feel like maybe Case.
I'm going. Let's go Case Keenum.
It was Case Keenum.
Boom. Yeah,
Case Keenum, Kellen Moore, Graham Harrell, Colt Brennan, and then finally number five. Rakeem Cato of Marshall.
Marshall, wow.
Wow.
Well, him and Baker Mayfield kind of tied, so.
Wow.
All right, that was fun, Trey. Well done.
Yeah, I do like that one. That's cool.
Good. It was a lot better than my trivia question last week.
Yeah, it was a little tough.
Landry Jones, man.
Yeah.
Ouch. He's just somehow in the whole litany of Oklahoma quarterbacks, he's an afterthought.
Nothing really stood out about him, I guess. You never won a Heisman. You know, it's just, or anything. He was really good, but never amazing.
Yeah. Okay. It is my turn, hopefully, to not get embarrassed again with the Big Ten. I also did Dragon Ball Z themed tiers.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. Tier four is called room for improvement. I'm being friendly here.
Yeah, very.
Number 14, Rutgers.
Oh no.
Art Sitkowski is still, I would think, the favorite. There's, you know, a couple guys there, but 4 touchdowns, 18 interceptions last year. That's really all I need
Case
to say.
Case closed.
Does he have his own tier? He better.
I wanted to give him some company. I felt bad for him.
Wow.
And I could have put another tier, but I didn't. Number 13, Illinois. So MJ Rivers played in 7 games as a freshman last year. I think he's the favorite to start. They do have Juice 2.0, of course, the 4-star freshman coming in, but can't expect much from a true freshman. So not getting my hopes up about Illinois quarterback play.
Wow, I got to get an own tier for Rutgers, but okay.
Okay, well, I'll take it under advisement, Ryan.
Sure, you will.
Tier 3 is called, it's a loaded tier, meaning there's a lot of guys here. It's called could be good, could be bad.
Okay.
Because most of these guys fit that mold.
That is Hornbrook to a T right there.
Exactly. So he will, spoiler alert, he'll be on this tier.
Yeah.
Number 12, Minnesota. So I'm expecting sophomore quarterback Tanner Morgan to be the starter. He took over for Zach Anakstad when he got injured and played a lot better. 9.2 yards per pass attempt.
Minnesota was a lot better, actually, when he took over.
They did. They were 4-2 with him as the starter, but just 152 passes last year. So I think I still need to see more. That's why I have him down here at 12.
Fair enough.
Number 11, Wisconsin, Alex Hornibrook.
Yeah.
And do you think Alex Hornibrook's going to be the starter? Because I do.
Unfortunately for Badger fans, I do.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Cohen, of course, might be the guy. Graham Mertz is a true freshman coming in. I wouldn't
expect a true freshman
to take over. So thinking it'll be Hornibrook. 2017 for him was pretty good.
It was.
2018.
We had 15 picks that year, but
he did have too many picks, but other than that, he was good.
Yeah.
And then 2018 was bad.
Abysmal.
So
yeah, it was bad.
Could be good, could be bad.
Yeah.
Number 10, Maryland, with Josh Jackson. So of course Jackson was injured most of last year, coming off a solid redshirt freshman season. But the reason I have him, I don't know if it's lower than people would expect, but is because if you look at that freshman year, he was against Power 5 teams, he was pretty mediocre. So
yeah, well, they started off the year pretty well, and then it kind of tapered off.
He kind of tailed off. So
yeah.
Hard to say with him as well.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, no major disagreements so far. I'm not making a fool of myself.
No.
Not yet.
Good.
We'll get there.
I have a feeling Trey might disagree with this next one. Number 9, Purdue, Elijah Sindelar.
Yeah, he was high on Elijah.
He was. And to his credit, he beat out David Blau to be the starter to start out last year. He just got injured right away. But I think that tells you something about him. And we saw him play a ton in 2017.
Yeah, we've seen him play well. So
he was good, but not great.
Fair enough.
But yeah, he's the one that I would have higher just because, well, yeah, you guys made light of the fact that I had him as the starter last year, but I just trust Brohm to get more production out of him.
Am I right that Sindelar did start the beginning of the year?
Yes, he did, but it was only like a half or something. It didn't last long.
No. Number 8, this one is, you could shift up or down the list, Penn State, Tommy Stevens, I think is the favorite to be the starter.
Yeah.
We know he's a great runner. He's been there forever, backing up McSorley.
Yes, he has.
And they got him on the field because he was such a good athlete. But we still don't know a ton about him as a passer. So
yeah, we don't. This one's really up in the air. It's hard to say. He, like you said, could be good, could be bad.
He could definitely be on the next tier if he's even an average passer.
Yeah.
Number 7.
Yeah, this is where I got a little bit of a beef.
Okay, we got some beef here?
Yeah.
Could be good, could be bad, Brian Lewerke.
Could be bad.
2017, he was great. 15th in the country in QB. Well, he was, okay, you're right. I shouldn't say great. But when you factor in the running ability, I think he was very good in 2017. He was a dark horse Heisman candidate coming into 2018. And it did not go well. He was very bad. But I'm going to lean on the excuse of the bad O-line, very bad O-line this year. The shoulder injury he sustained, maybe that affected him. I mean, he wasn't great before it, but yeah.
What did you say about his efficiency?
He was 15th in the country in QBR in 2017.
Really?
I mean, I'm not high on Lewerke, but or anything really associated with the Spartan offense, but at this point, so, I mean, we'll see what happens.
But where do you get the QBR stat from?
Okay, so ESPN has QBR, and so that's an all-encompassing stat that it takes into account
running.
Too, where if you're just looking at the Sports Reference, I think pass efficiency rating or whatever it's called, just passing, so...
Gotcha.
Okay. Number six, Indiana. Peyton Ramsey. I feel like Peyton Ramsey is underrated nationally, obviously because Indiana
hasn't been great.
But he did throw too many interceptions last year. But other than that, he was good. He was a good runner, high completion percentage. So that's why I put him here.
I agree with this. I like Ramsey. I thought going into the last year, he was underrated and still think so.
All right. I'm doing a great job, guys.
You are.
No complaints.
Number five, controversial pick here, maybe. Northwestern, Hunter Johnson.
You got to put him somewhere. Like, you got to take a shot. You can't just put him at last to the people that haven't played.
Right. It's tough. So, it's all pedigree. Obviously, he's the five-star transfer from Clemson. But I like the fact that he had a full year at Northwestern. Well, I don't quite remember when he transferred.
I thought it was a full year.
Full year? Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
so
he's been there.
Full year to sit out, learn the offense. I'm high on him. There's the potential is there to be great.
Yeah, I think Northwestern turns out quarterbacks pretty well. I mean, Thorson didn't end up super great, but, you know, he had his moments. And Hunter Johnson seems to have more, you know, talent than him. So I agree with this one, Mike.
Okay. All right. So we have exhausted the could be good, could be bad tier. And we are now on tier two, which I have called Nathan Stanley.
Yeah.
And it consists of number four, Iowa.
You don't say.
Who would have guessed?
Beth Mowins special.
Beth Mowins would love this one. But he's solid. He's not amazing.
Yep.
But you know he's going to be pretty good at the very least.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And now we are to tier one, which I am calling the Heisman contenders.
Ooh,
Ryan is just too excited.
Got a little tingly there, Mike.
Excuse me, I kind of coughed there. Ooh. Almost died. You got tingly there, Ryan?
A little bit.
Wow, a little ASMR on the podcast.
Sure.
All right, Ryan, what can I give you a little... who do you think I put? I've got number three and number two. Shea Patterson, Adrian Martinez. Who do you think I put ahead?
Oh, you got to put... Adrian. Yo, Adrian.
Okay. All right. That was weird. I did. I put Adrian Martinez ahead of Shea Patterson. So I have Martinez 2, Patterson 3. And the reason their stats were fairly similar last year, and Martinez was a true freshman. So he could potentially take a jump this year. And if he's healthy with that Scott Frost offense, he's going to have a monster year.
Yep.
So
for sure.
I really struggled with that decision, though, because the one kind of factor that might have had me put Patterson over Martinez is the fumbles. Martinez had, like, I think 12 fumbles last year. That's a ton.
Yeah, he had a lot. Hopefully, I mean, if that doesn't go away during the sophomore year, then it likely never will. You know, hopefully it's got to take a drop.
What's up with Nebraska quarterbacks and fumbling?
I don't know. I mean, and name Martinez.
Yeah, name Martinez, exactly. Yeah. Taylor Martinez? I'm going crazy. Yeah, Taylor... Why does that not sound right?
Taylor Martinez.
All right.
T-Mart.
Oh, Landry Jones, Taylor Martinez. Who can remember these guys? Yeah, he fumbled a lot, though, is my point.
Well, he led the nation like 4 years in a row or something, 3 years in a row.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so number one, that means number one is Ohio State, Justin Fields. Again, might be controversial. He's obviously got a lower floor than either of the other two guys, but... He's got that potential to be the next, you know, Tua,
JT Barrett, Dwayne Haskins,
Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, Dwayne Haskins. He's elite runner, great arm. Elite runner, just like Dwayne Haskins, as we all know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephen A.
The reason I put him number one is I think he is the most likely to win the Heisman in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Ohio State quarterback, you can't complain putting him number one.
Oh, someone's going to complain. Someone's going to complain.
Yeah, that's true. Not me.
Okay.
All right, Mike. You didn't make a fool of yourself.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bravo. Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's My turn then.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on to the Conference of Champions, the Pac-12, of course. And for this, I'm going to do, let's see, how many tiers are I got five tiers here. And
wow.
Yeah, five tiers. The very bottom tier, I'll start like we are always have at the bottom, the Chevy Cruze tier. Sorry, Chevy.
What? The Chevy Cruze?
Yeah, I'm doing cars.
Yeah, I'm doing cars.
Doing cars. All right. So the Chevy Cruze level, you know, some people's dream car, so they say.
Sure.
Sure. The Beavers, Oregon State, they have a three-way battle, but Jake Luton, he got a sixth year, and he's likely to take advantage of that and probably be the starter. But, you know, it's the Beavers. So
I'm already strongly disagreeing here. He was pretty good last year when he played. I know he's injury prone, but he had a fine year, especially with not a great offense. Like, he did have a good running game, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think he's that bad. I do not think that he should be in the Chevy Cruze tier. He's more of
he's not a Cruze.
No, I'd say he's maybe like a Infiniti, an Infiniti.
Whoa, Infiniti's.
Yeah, well, Hyundai. I'm going Hyundai.
Okay.
Hyundai Elantra.
You drive an Infiniti.
True. True. Not to brag. Just hit 100K.
Yeah. Wow. Took you a while.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough, gentlemen. I guess I didn't bother to look too much into his stats. I just saw Beaver quarterback. I'm like, 12.
He just assumed he was really bad. What about Jebbia, Ryan? He could be okay.
Yeah, right. That guy weighs like 115 pounds.
You're a hater.
He's not. If he starts, they're in trouble.
They're in trouble anyway. They're in trouble. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, good point. All right. So moving up a tier. This tier is called the Honda Accord, which is a nice car. We have number 11, Cal. They got Chase Garbers. Maybe Devin Monster. He transferred in from UCLA. Could give him a little bit of a run for his money. Brandon McIlwain is still there, but not a strong group to choose from.
Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, I think Garbers should be dead last in the conference. I would switch him.
So you think Garbers is garbage?
The alliteration there is tempting, but it is very harsh on a young man. So Devin Monster, I would predict to start, though. And him, I'm okay with.
We'll see how it works with Cal, but I got them at 11. Number 10, I have the Sun Devils. Dylan Sterling Cole is kind of the incumbent. Well, not really incumbent, but he's kind of the elder statesman of the group. He's a junior. He hasn't played much, but he does have the leg up. He's going to be competing with like three freshmen. Jaden Daniels is probably his biggest threat. He's a big-time recruit that ASU got, but not certain they'll go with a true Fosh, but we'll see. Either way, not super confident at that position right now.
I know what Herm's going to do, though. He's going to play to win the game.
That's true. So
very true. Very true. Sterling Cole represented me in my divorce.
Just because he sounds like a lawyer?
It sounds like a law firm, yeah.
Why did you say divorce?
Because I got divorced.
That was, you could have said something else.
Well,
okay.
Okay. I don't know. Alrighty. My DUI? I don't know.
So the next tier is the largest tier of the Pac-12 for me. It's the Lexus tier.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you're already, wow, Lexus.
Well, I get pretty high class after this. So. Okay. Yeah. We're going number 9, USC. Sorry, Mike. JT Daniels. I am not confident in him.
What the f***?
What?
This is... Ryan, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. I'm quite right here on JT Daniels. I'm just right.
You're quite right.
I'm quite right, okay? He's still in that mid-tier. I'm not like he's saying he's the bottom bracket here. He's not a Chevy Cruze, but, you know, he's a Lexus. That's still a good level. But I just don't have that confidence in him. He didn't seem to improve. That's my huge deal with me. He seemed like the same quarterback as he was in game one and he was in game 12. And it seemed like big player bust. I just didn't see a whole lot of consistency. So shoot me, Mike.
I totally disagree here. I have him much better than ninth. I agree that he's probably in this tier, but I would probably have him at the top of this tier. I mean, he had some bad moments last year, but he was a true freshman, one of SC's worst teams. I think he can improve a lot this year.
There's been other true freshmen that I'm like that have shown a lot better than he did.
Well, I think another thing to keep in mind, the offensive line was not good. Not that it's necessarily going to be much
excuse.
What's that?
That's everybody's excuse.
Well, it's true. It's true. And another thing is he wasn't, not only was he a true freshman, but he was a late enrollee true freshman. He wasn't there for the spring. So,
oh, and did you know he enrolled early, so a year early? Another great point. Except he's
should have been in high school.
He was the right age.
also, can I give more? We gave a lot of excuses for Scott Frost last episode. I want to give another one for JT Daniels.
T. Martin.
There we go. I actually couldn't remember what I was going to say, but you got it for me. Yeah, now with Graham Harrell coming in, I do feel a lot better. Because if you look at JT Daniels' freshman year, you could compare it to Matt Barkley. Now, I don't think he's going to make as big a jump as Matt Barkley did, but even if it's anywhere close to that, then he should be much higher on this list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when I say much higher, as I'm kind of looking at where I think the list should go, it's not, there's not a lot of room to go up necessarily, but
yeah. Well, I think I accomplished my goal of pissing Michael off, so
yeah, well done.
Thank you,
appreciate it.
I'm not done pissing you off. Just ahead of JT Daniels, I have UCLA quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson.
No. What has he done, Ryan? What has he done?
He showed glimpses of being good.
he showed glimpses
in high school.
I think he's going to take a big jump to his sophomore year here. I think he needed a little more time than a guy like JT Daniels. Under Chip Kelly's tutelage, I think he's going to get better. I'm obviously not a huge UCLA guy or Chip Kelly guy. I don't think they're going to be very good, but I do think their offense will be solid, especially with Joshua Kelly coming back at running back. It's just their defense is going to really, really hold them back. So I expect DTR to be pretty solid.
There's a lot of drama with DTR, though, his dad and Chip Kelly. But I mean, the thing is he seems like a perfect fit for the offense. But then last year, I was so surprised that Chip was so adamant about going with Wilton Spate. So I don't know. We'll see.
Wilton Spate had like 9 lives, though. So
yeah, he's like a cat. That's the joke.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Okay.
All righty. Number 7, I have UW quarterback Jacob Eason is maybe the leader in the clubhouse right now. And while I'm not the biggest Eason guy, he did start as a true freshman for Georgia, which is not easy. And I think Chris Peterson will probably, if somebody's able to get the most out of him, it'd be him, but not super confident in Eason.
Yeah, this is I think lower than most people will have Eason, and I'm also going to be low on Eason coming into the year, because I think the perception of that freshman year is better than I think it was in reality. Like it wasn't great. And again, I'll give him the excuse of the O-line. I gave it to JT Daniels, so I have to give it to Eason.
Sure.
But right now I think it's kind of it's right to put Eason and Daniels on the same tier, because for me it's a coin flip as to who is the better quarterback.
Yeah, sure.
Eason does have the advantage of a more stable situation.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I will say, though, it's not an Eason decision.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Man. Moving on. I have Steven Montez from Colorado here at number 6. I feel like he's pretty much been the same quarterback for 3 years in a row now. Pretty good, but not great. And just hasn't really improved, so but I'm comfortable putting him around 6. He's solid.
Yeah. The one thing I don't like is they have a new staff at Colorado, and the Buffs really aren't expected to do a whole lot.
No, that is true. All right. Number 5, I have Tyler Huntley from Utah. Huntley, I really like him. You can tell by just watching the Utah's games, they're much better when he's in there. They really struggled without him. So I definitely see him as a top 5 QB in the Pac-12.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Alrighty. And number 4, maybe a little bit of a shot in the dark here for me. I'm going Washington State incoming quarterback Gage Gabrud. Not 100%.
So let me get this straight. You have JT Daniels, number 9.
Yep.
And someone whose name you can't quite pronounce, and I also can't pronounce, so I won't try, at number 4.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just letting the record show that.
Hey, man, Wazoo quarterbacks, I mean, Minshew, they pump them out. And this kid came from Eastern Washington. He had did really, really well there at the FCS level. And Eastern Washington, that's a high level FCS, as we know. He's not the first Eastern Washington quarterback to transfer to a Pac-12 school and have success. Well, we'll see if he has success. But Vernon Adams at Oregon did great. So I, in a friendlier offense here in Wazoo, I think he's gonna have a big year.
He's not gonna know what to do, not on the red turf though.
That's
good,
true.
Good point. I would see. I'd normally want to push back on this one because it seems very high to be putting an FCS transfer, but I just feel like he's going to have a great year with Leach's offense, then it'll make me look stupid. So I will actually, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to complain.
All right.
Even though I kind of did earlier. Forget about that.
In a roundabout way. All right. So on to our second tier. We have the Porsche. This is the Porsche group. And at number three, I have Arizona's Khalil Tate. I think Tate could have a breakout 2019. Hard for a player to have two breakout years in his career, but I think it's appropriate here for Tate, honestly.
I agree.
Yeah, people were down on him this year, but if you looked at his stats, especially his passing stats in particular, they were pretty darn good. I mean, he had 26 touchdowns in just 11 games, and he was pretty efficient, good play yards per attempt. So if he can just stay healthy, then he'd have both, the arm and the legs, where he could have a huge year.
Guys, I'm worried. I was all in on Arizona last year, Khalil Tate, Kevin Sumlin. Now, I thought I wrote him off, but I think I have all spring now to jump back on board.
I'm on board with Khalil Tate, but I don't know about Arizona as a whole.
Yeah, as a whole, no. Their defense isn't going to be good, so they'll still struggle, but Tate could have a monster year.
I'll talk myself into it.
Sure.
I'm sure you will, Dre. All right, number two, I have KJ Costello from Stanford. You know, he and Herbert, they had pretty similar stats this past year, but I think Costello probably benefited more from having those tall receivers, especially like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and those tall tight ends, and he just kind of threw it up to him off a lot, and those guys went and got it. So I'm interested to see how he does without them, like Arcega-Whiteside's left to the NFL. So, you know, maybe Costello, you have an argument to be up there at number one, but I don't think so. I think he's a solid two.
No, good job looking beyond the stats there, Ryan. I agree. Yeah, because statistically, yeah, like you said, he could be, you could make an argument for number one, but I think he should be a tier below Herbert.
Yeah.
And I think he'll regress a little bit without Arcega-Whiteside.
Yep, agree.
And I think Caden Smith is gone too,
Maybe Bryce Love with him gone too, that might hurt. So
couldn't help.
Not that he had a huge year, but people were focused on that. And then number one, the tier, Rolls Royce. Oh yeah, baby.
All right.
That's the car I drive.
No, it isn't.
How do you know? All right. Justin Herbert, of course, Oregon QB. Hands down, best QB returning in the conference to me. Likely number one overall pick. Could have been the number one overall pick this past year, so boom. Quack. Quack quack.
Yeah, I mean no arguments here. That's the clear number one.
Good.
Okay. Well, instead of getting to, we only have one more conference left, right? SEC, save the
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. So before that though, I have a top five list.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go with the top five sleeping giants of college football. And so there's kind of a couple different ways to define sleeping giants. I'm not talking about the Nebraska, let's just say Nebraska type sleeping giant that did obviously have a very long period of being one of the best and is now been dormant for a while. I'm talking more like Clemson. Like Clemson had never really, before Dabo, they only had one top five finish since World War II. So they really had never been to that level until now. And so that's what my sleeping giants are here.
Okay. I feel like I could maybe, I want to think about who you would have picked, like try to guess one or two, you know?
One's Texas A&M.
Yeah.
All right, well, you guys just f***ing ruined the list.
All right, no, go ahead.
Number five, UCF.
Oh.
So this is the only G5 school on the list. They have the largest undergraduate student body in the country.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so it's a big school in the state of Florida. I don't know if you guys knew that. I think it's central Florida.
Kind of in the middle somewhere.
Sort of,
and so all they have to do is join a Power 5 conference, and then I think you could see them make the leap.
Okay.
Number four.
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
Boom.
So you've got to go back to... Did you just say Georgia Tech before I said that?
I did.
What is wrong with... This is stupid.
I did.
So you got to go back to the 1950s under Bobby Dodd when they really had a period of long sustained success. So I think they fit the bill here. They're the only Power 5 school in Atlanta. I know they've got the stricter academic standards, but Notre Dame and Stanford have seemed to do okay with that. So if they can just get the recruiting up, just build a fence around Atlanta, not a literal fence, but figuratively.
A wall?
Not a wall. No, definitely not that. Just a figurative fence around of recruiting.
All right.
Number three.
UCLA.
But that's next. Number three, South Carolina.
Okay.
I got a fun stat here, though. You can't ruin this stat. Before Steve Spurrier got there, South Carolina had zero top 10 finishes in the AP poll in school history.
Oh, they were terrible.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So, but they've got a great fan base, big stadium. They have plenty of money. They're in the SEC. So I think someday they could make a Clemson-like rise.
Post-Muschamp.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe when Billy Napier's there. When my boy Billy Napier right. gets there. Number two, Ryan ruined it, UCLA.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. It was on your list. Okay.
It is. You know, should be souring on this a little bit because they finally have gotten the recruiting up to a great level recently and it hasn't done much for them. But if they get the right coach in there, there's no reason they can't be as good as USC. The only inherent advantage USC has is their history. But there's nothing. There's nothing else really. So there's no reason UCLA couldn't take over LA someday.
Maybe the campus or the stadium an hour away from your campus, but
that's not great. But it's the Rose Bowl. I mean, that's prestigious.
Yeah, it's the Rose Bowl.
Number one, you guys ruined it at the beginning. Texas A&M. That's an easy answer. I mean, they've only had two top five finishes since World War II, and here they are now. They're in the state of Texas. Recently, they just moved to the state of Texas. Also recently moved to the SEC. So, yeah, they're clearly about to rise to prominence. I think they're about to become a giant.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
There you go.
Really surprised by that list. That was great.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anyway, there you go. Trey, SEC time.
All right. So you mentioned a couple SEC schools there. We'll get to their quarterbacks here now. So bottom to top, we've got... my first tier, which we would call, at least they're getting a good education.
Oh, nice.
Number 14, Vanderbilt's Riley Neal, most likely. Obviously, Vandy, great academic school. Neal transfers in from Ball State. He got injured last year, but he played in 9 games. He put up okay numbers, but not really overwhelming, even in the MAC. So now he moves over to the SEC, so he's really going to need to rely on the running game.
They're going to miss Shermer.
Yeah. Number 13, Ole Miss, looks to be redshirt freshman Matt Corral. He played in 4 games last year, saved his redshirt, didn't put up big numbers, had showed some flashes in mop-up duty. Now, they're talking about Ole Miss running a little more read option next season so they can use his athleticism to their advantage. We'll see.
They've got Rich Rod calling the plays now, so...
I'd probably separate Corral from Riley Neal. I'd put him on a different tier.
Agreed. He was a big recruit. I'm high on Corral.
Yeah, I think I'd have him higher than 13.
Also, is Ole Miss a good school? Like, I don't academically.
It's pretty solid. I mean, it's not Vanderbilt, but
no.
There's only one in the SEC that's like that.
Yeah.
All right. Now my next group is Prove It to Me. Okay. Number 12. Kentucky's Terry Wilson.
Ooh.
You know, if Kentucky didn't have a great defense and Benny Snell at running back, Terry Wilson probably wouldn't be as highly thought of around Big Blue Nation. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but he was pretty ineffective at a lot of times last year. I'll give him credit. He was clutching in a few different times when he was needed, but he hampered some of the offensive drives last year. So
a lot of
I need
them.
To see a jump on him to get on board.
Yeah, I'd put him behind Corral. Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. I'm going to go number 11. I've never eaten at a Golden Corral.
Neither have I.
I've never been there.
I don't think that we see commercials all the time, but yeah, I don't think they have them out here.
That's true. They're not around here.
It reminds me of like, we have Coco's out here, which I've also never been to, but it kind of feels like the same
maybe
place.
What did you say?
Coco's.
Oh, there's Coco's. but I've never been.
The branding looks similar to me, at least.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cracker Barrel, Golden Corral.
But we digress.
Someone tweet us and tell us if Golden Corral is a good place.
Number 11, Arkansas's Ben Hicks. The SMU transfer reconnects with Chad Morris. We've talked about this before. You know, he put up some gaudy numbers at SMU. He's an accurate passer. But
I would say he is inaccurate.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm the nickname Pick Six Hicks has just kind of stuck with him a little
bit. That's true. That's not a good one.
But he was better with ball security last year. But I don't know. I'm not super high on him.
No, I mean, I think Hog fans are just hoping that he can kind of bridge them from the lows of last year to the future of hope for the next couple of years. All right. Number 10, Tennessee's Jarrett Garantano. Having a year under his belt is going to help him. You add offensive coordinator Jim Chaney helps in my eyes. He did well at Georgia and Arkansas before that. Going into this year, you'd expect a decent jump in production from him. And he only threw three picks last year, which was pretty surprising to see.
Yeah, Jared's solid.
He was solid last year, especially, let's throw in that excuse, Ryan, that's for everybody.
Yeah, that O-line.
They did, though. They did not have a good O-line.
They all did.
Well, Tennessee in particular.
Who had a good O-line last year? One team, like Georgia?
Georgia was good, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Number 9, Auburn looking to be Bo Nix. Early enrollee. He's going to be in a battle with Malik Willis and Joey Gatewood. But Nix was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Alabama, Mr. Football in Alabama. And we all know Gus Malzahn needs a good year, and he's going to have to rely on a young signal caller this year. He's a versatile spread quarterback, and we know Auburn's had a good track record with guys named Bo. So
that is a great point. Yeah. I like him.
I strong disagree here. I'd put Auburn lower. They missed out on Kelly Bryant in the transfer market, missed out on Austin Kendall. I don't think they're in a great place. If you're having to start a true freshman,
it's true. I'd have a hard time putting him over Garantano, but
agreed.
Fair. Number 8, LSU's Joe Burrow. I've just never been super high on Burrow, but he finished the year well. Coach O wanted to enhance the offense even more. He brought in a new passing game coordinator. The LSU hasn't had stability at quarterback before, so it's nice to have him around. He was responsible for over 3,000 yards last year too, which is pretty impressive in the SEC. I think half those yards came in that A&M multi-overtime game. But
7 overtimes.
But he doesn't scare defense, but he can at least keep the defense honest.
No, I like that. He's a middle of the pack guy, so that's I like that.
All right, so you guys might disagree with my next guy. Number 7, Missouri's Kelly Bryant. He was productive at Clemson, but he just doesn't have the talent around him like he did there. He didn't have to do a lot there. Defense was great. Now you got Missouri, they're not bowl eligible. It's going to be tough. And also last year the offense with Missouri was kind of pass happy with Drew Locke, so I want to see how it looks with Bryant.
I'm with you.
It'll be interesting to see the fit, but I think there is some good talent around him there. So, but I don't mind where you ranked him. I don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. Yeah, what did you think we were gonna put him lower or higher?
Well, maybe not you guys. I just think the nation kind of thinks, Kelly Bryant, he's gonna be top 3-4.
Oh no, he's not a good enough passer to really give me. I don't have a gripe.
All right, number 6, this one pains me because I'm off South Carolina's wagon for the moment. Jake Bentley. This is going to be his third year. He's going to need to improve. He kind of had a little bit of he was inconsistent last year.
Is it really only his third year? Am I going crazy?
Yeah. No, this is going to be he's going to be a senior.
Yeah, freshman year, I don't remember. He definitely played a good amount.
He played in 7 games, had like 190 attempts, so he played pretty significantly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, either way, I was just going to put my point is on the end of last season and his inconsistency. Against Clemson, puts up 35 points, 5 touchdowns on the road, like super impressive. And then in the Belk Bowl against Virginia, he's 17 of 39 and has 2 picks. The Gamecocks, they were disappointing in their big games, and I need Bentley to be more consistent.
I still think overall he had, and you have him high on the list, so I think probably ranked him pretty appropriately, but he had a good year last year.
He did. I mean, yards per attempt was like 8.2. So I think
he was fourth in the SEC in yards per attempt.
Yeah, he was It was good. Just a little too many picks.
Okay. My next tier is the terrible twos. These are second-year coaches with some returning production.
Trey's tiers are, their names are cute. He's got some cute names.
Adorbs.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right. Number five, Mississippi State's Keaton Thompson.
Whoa.
Now, this is more of a play on Joe Moorhead.
Yeah, it better be.
If not for him, Thompson might be a little lower on my list, but he's a more of a season passer than Fitzgerald, but, you know, anyone is. He started the first game last year, had seven total touchdowns. I know it was against an FCF foe, but it's still an encouraging sign for at least some potential.
I hope you're right, because obviously I'm a big Joe Moorhead guy, but I think this is my biggest disagreement of the episode. I think he should...
Yeah, I'm with you here, Michael. This is mine as well.
You have him tier two right now, terrible twos. I think he should maybe be back on the getting an education tier. I haven't seen the evidence that he's a significantly better passer than Nick Fitzgerald. He has 105 career pass attempts, and he's under 50% completions. I know that's a small sample, but I don't know. I'm still a little bit concerned about him.
Well, and he was 41% completion percentage against Stephen F. Austin, like his biggest game. He just relied on the big play there. You know, that's not going to happen in every night in the SEC.
I worry that he's one of those guys that's going to put up huge numbers and dominate, because he's a very, very good on the ground, dominate against the poor competition, but then really struggle when he goes up in class.
Like Nick Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I guess like Nick Fitzgerald.
If he couldn't beat him out, I mean, Nick could, there are games where they couldn't even really throw, and, you know, Thompson still didn't go in, so.
Well, you guys are twisting my arm. Maybe I could have left him down. But he fits my terrible twos, so screw that.
That's fine. The narrative is good.
Number four, Florida's Felipe Franks. We saw him improve dramatically last year under Dan Mullen. His production pretty much doubled from the prior year. And he capped it by playing great against a solid defense in Michigan in their Gators Peach Bowl win. So I wouldn't have thought this last year, but he's number four on my list.
Yeah, he would have been like the getting education before the beginning of last year. But yeah, Dan Mullen did a great job with him.
I don't have a huge problem with him being number four on your list. I just don't think he's a tier above Bentley and Bryant and Burrow.
Okay,
for me.
Fair. All right, number three. A&M's Kellen Mond. Ryan, we all know you would never have put him there a year ago. Neither would we, but
yeah, nobody would.
But big year under Jimbo, you have to like Mond. Over 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, and it's also crazy he's only a junior. But the one thing is he did have Travion Williams next to him, so he can't lean on him this year, but his rushing ability might be more prevalent this season.
I agree with you. I have Kellen Mond at three also, so no gripe.
All right, my last tier. It's the battle for the Tim Tebow / Cam Newton / Peyton Manning SEC Royalty Award.
Wow.
I mean, you're talking about two high level quarterbacks that will have been there for a decent amount of time. So number two, Georgia's Jake Fromm. Extremely talented, clear-cut, top quarterback. He lost a lot of production from last year in guys like Ridley, Hartman, Nada, but he's been efficient in his two seasons, two-thirds of his passes last year. He's thrown for 54 touchdowns in his 2 years. So, but if they want to beat Bama this year, he's going to need to improve a little bit more.
That's fair. I don't think you're going to find anyone in the world that disagrees with the 1-2 here.
No.
Yeah. Number one, Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa. You know, tough to argue this one. Front runner for the Heisman, shattered records. Yep. You know,
no brainer.
How about which conference had the? I don't know why I'm trying to prolong the podcast here. We've already got a super long podcast,
a little overboard.
But
the next question you're about to ask, I feel is interesting. I have a sneaky. I just know what you're going to ask.
Wow, you're ruining everything.
Sneaky suspicion is the thing I was going for, but okay. Too many S's for me.
Which conference has the best quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a two conference race, at Big Ten and SEC, and you could convince me either way.
Yeah, I think I agree that it's down to those two. I'm just kind of looking at the list here.
I'm going SEC.
SEC?
Well,
this is fascinating podcast material right now.
I mean, the bottom of the SEC isn't that bad.
No, that's true. I mean, you do have some pretty bad, like Art and MJ Rivers for, you know, Illinois Rutgers, pretty horrible, but Hornibrook, yeah. Lewerke, not that great, but yeah, okay, yeah. I'm going SEC also, actually.
I think I will take SEC, but I would take the top, I think the Big Ten's a little more top heavy. I would take that top four of Justin Fields,
Adrian
Martinez, Shea Patterson, and Nathan Stanley over the Tua, Fromm, Mond, and Franks, because there's a big drop off there to Mond and Franks, I think.
Man, when you say that, I'm not so sure. I think maybe there's a decent drop off to Franks, but is Stanley really that much better than like Felipe Franks?
No, he's not. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
So that's
tough.
It's pretty even, but I'm going SEC.
Yeah. When Terry Wilson is 12th, I know he has some limitations, but
yeah,
that's not too bad.
It's true.
Okay. And apologies to G5, but I have some names here. Derek King at Houston.
Of course.
Michael first. Gosh. Oh,
well,
gosh.
Well, I think he's the best G5 quarterback.
No, he's great. He's great.
Jordan Love, Utah State.
Besides Mackenzie Milton, if he's healthy.
Well, yeah, Mackenzie Milton, but
yeah,
might not play. Mason Fine, North Texas.
Jordan Love?
I just said Jordan Love, bro.
I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Come on, Ryan.
Was someone trying to get in your apartment again?
No, this one I just didn't listen, I guess.
Okay, and then the last one, Shane Bechel.
Oh, wow.
SMU.
Oh, boy.
Sure.
Okay. Well, have we exhausted our discussion of quarterbacks? We just spent a very long time talking about quarterbacks.
Let's talk about offensive linemen now.
Yeah, we'll do an hour-long O-line episode next week.
Yeah.
No, let's get to our questionable finish. In emails, Texas A&M's president said it is unlikely that they will renew their rivalry with Texas. What's something you used to do a lot that you're unlikely to do again?
For me, this one came to me quick. It was pretty easy. I am unlikely to get late night fast food again.
Whoa.
I would do that so much, you know, it felt like fast food always tasted better at like midnight, but
it does. I'm not giving up on that. I can't give that up.
I'm done. I haven't done that in a long time, and I won't do it again.
Good for you.
Yeah.
For me, it's sleeping in until noon on the weekends.
Oh yeah.
I used to be I would sleep for a long time.
You were past noon for a while there.
I know. Yeah, I was past noon, and I don't want to waste the weekend anymore. I like to wake up early on the weekend and get my day started,
like 10 o'clock.
Well, yeah, that's early for me. 9 if I can.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I used to go out to the bars a lot. Now that, you know, early 30s, engaged, settling down, that's just not happening.
Yeah,
anymore.
You were.
I loved
quite,
it.
Quite but, the drinker.
Well, no, I didn't drink as much, obviously, but I was going out there was fun.
Right, right.
Okay, next question. Rivals.com was fooled a couple weeks ago by high school classmates who created a fake recruit. Name a time when you have been fooled by something.
Okay, so mine's golf themed. A little insight into the Newman family. Ryan and Michael, as well as my dad, they each have a hole in one. My mom for sure would if she wasn't forced to stop playing years ago. I am the only one without one. And they give me plenty of grief about that. I play way more than any of them, except for dad.
And you're way better.
But
way better, yeah.
About a year ago, I'm playing on a hole, slightly uphill, so you could really only see kind of the upper half of the flag. I hit a shot right at the hole.
Ooh.
And my group heard it hit the flag. You could see the flag move. But we can't see the end of the result. So I'm naturally thinking, you know, this had a chance. We drive up, we can't see it. So we're thinking,
you think you have it.
Yeah,
you
I'm
think
like,
you got
oh,
it.
I like, well, like, holy crap, oh, no. this actually happened. Sure enough, the ball hit the stick and bounced off into the rough.
I was on the green.
Totally fooled.
That's brutal. That's brutal.
Ouch.
Mine is college football related. I was fooled last year by people on the internet telling me that Alex Hornibrook was actually going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Good
there
point.
There was Hornibrook for Heisman. I think it was mostly sarcastic buzz, but I thought maybe they were semi-serious, and I just bit into it a little bit.
You bought into that for sure.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. All right, for me, this happened just like last week. I went to Mexico for my wife's best friend had a wedding, and so I got to the airport, and we didn't have transportation to the hotel, so we had to try to get a taxi. But then when you get there, there's like a million guys like there, and I feel like we were like, okay, so here's your hotel. Yeah, this is where you're staying. Sure, we can book you for this. And would you like to get a massage? We can get a 50% off of the transportation. Like, I was just thinking like they were part of the hotel people or something. And then if what they were just trying to sell you a bunch of crap. Like, they were just salesmen. And I had no idea. I was ready to be like, okay, sure, let's just do that. I'll book it. We'll get it done. But my wife, she's like, Ryan, no. Come on. Just get out of here. We got to leave. These guys don't. I'm like, oh, okay.
This gentleman wanted to give me a massage.
Yeah, exactly. Wanted to give me half price massage. Man, yeah, I was a little gullible there, I guess.
Last question. The Oscars were this Sunday, so let's give Oscars-inspired awards to college football players or coaches. I'll go first. I'm giving best costume design in 2018 to Oklahoma State. They wore those, the Barry Sanders era tribute jerseys.
Nice.
Those were money. Those helmets are awesome. And the orange, I loved it. Honorable mention to LSU's purple helmets that changed color under the lights.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Ryan, this one's kind of for you. Best original song has to go to Imagine Dragons.
Oh yeah,
ESPN song. Oh, sure.
Nice.
No doubt.
That's the title of it. ESPN song.
No, whatever. Natural. What?
Yeah, natural. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
That one was for Ryan.
Thank you, jerk. I have a best scene, and I'm gonna give it to Chad Lunsford when he was getting interviewed after the game after they won the Camellia Bowl. That was a touching moment. If you were watching that, got me a little teary-eyed, maybe.
Ah, man, who could forget the Oscar for best scene?
Who could forget?
It was a great moment. I bought into that. And I bet Georgia Southern, so I was really happy about it.
Who won that Oscar for best scene this year, Ryan?
I have no idea.
It's because it's not a thing.
Oh, it's not? So, yeah, well, isn't it from something? I thought it was an award for some award show.
Best scene?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Not the Oscars.
All right. Well,
anyway.
They love to give themselves awards, but.
They do. Ryan, not a fan of Hollywood, it sounded like there.
I live right next to it, but yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to a very long, but hopefully informative and fun episode about all the Power 5 quarterbacks. We will be back next week. Spring's practices are going to be getting underway for a lot of the schools coming up. So,
yep,
I'm sure we'll have a lot of storylines to talk about. So make sure you're subscribed and give us 5 stars if you haven't already. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. Keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.